Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. Today's guest is Debbie Anderson. She is a British clairvoyant, healer, and spirit communicator. Today we're going to talk about contact with loved ones on the other side. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Johnny. I'm pleased to be here.
Excellent. So your website address is vibrationalenergy.com.
Correct.
What is vibrational energy?
Well, vibrational energy, if you think of like we're speaking on this podcast here and it's emanating out on a wavelength. So certain people will tune into that literally. They will go and say, hey, here's Johnny's link here. We're going to listen in on that. And that's what vibrational energy is. We're all resonating on different frequencies. So if we think of, we go back to where people say, oh, the tree huggers, but we actually, everything emanates an energy. Like we as human beings emanate energy. We can have a positive and we feel that energy as we go into a room. We don't know what's going on in that room, but all of a sudden we feel, wow, this is really great in here. I want to get in here and see what's going on. Or the other energy that we all very much feel is, whoa, this feels bad. You know, I used to work in corporate world and, you know, the thing around the water cooler or the photocopier, those kind of instances. And sometimes you would walk towards it. People were maybe chatting. They weren't ranting and raving or laughing and giggling or anything like that. But you could feel that, oh, I'm going to keep walking. I don't need water that much because there's just that whole vibe of, or yay, yay, yay. And maybe I'm in the middle of doing a project for my boss and I'm like, I don't want to be sidetracked here and then have to be rude and run away, which sometimes happens. So we feel it in our day to day. And it's just this emanation out of, I'm sure a lot of your viewers have heard of auras, and that's energy field, that invisible bubble that surrounds us. So that's why sometimes we feel happy. So with an auric field that surrounds us, our astral body, if you like, it's like a bubble. So when we're feeling happy, that expands out and it touches, brushes other people. And the same goes if we're feeling angry or frustrated. It can, if we're close to somebody, they can feel that, ooh, what's going on? So that's why sometimes people will say to us, is everything okay? Are you feeling okay? Without knowing. And you'll sort of go, wow, how do they know? You know, and then we begin that conversation. It's there for all of us. And we feel the positive the negative more than anything else. But with those frequencies, we tap into what we want. Like I'll listen to a radio station if I want to hear rock and roll or something like that. And I'm going to tune into that radio station. And that's what people do in their day-to-day lives. They tune into the people that are on that same vibrational frequency they are. And we all know that the majority of us, we don't want to be around the negative Nellies and Nigels. We want to be with the happy people. We want to be with the positive people. So we'll tune into that frequency and that helps lift our vibration. We've only got to be in the energy of somebody that's really, really happy. And we may not have had a great day. We may have had a poopy day or something like that. And then all of a sudden, oh, I feel really good again. And the same goes if we're in the vibration of the person that's, you know, that one that brings you down.
That definitely is a downer.
Yeah.
So it's very important to find people that are kind of on the same wavelength. So
absolutely aligned to their energy.
I've heard people say, I'd rather be alone than be around people that I don't have anything in common with. We're talking about silly things and whatever. Yeah. And I'd rather just wait until I can connect with people that I have more in common with.
And I understand that because if we're in the energy of our grandchildren who are sort of teenagers now, they're talking about stuff that really emanates with them and they're enjoying it. And I'm sitting there going, I don't want to be here. And so I'll gracefully try and pull myself away from that. And it's the same with if somebody's sick or something like that, we'll be there to help them, like to give them some positive stuff.
The whole energy thing, I think people these days are even more aware of the positive and the negative energy and how it's even more important to not only get away from it, but also to recognize that some of the more empathic people, the super sensitive types of people, can basically absorb energy that isn't even theirs. Since we're talking about empaths, intuitives, psychics. By now, most people know the difference between a medium and a psychic, but do most people have these innate abilities, or is it something that you feel that we're born with it?
I sense and feel that we are born being able to tap into spirit. You've only got to look into the eyes of a small baby. And it's like, they know. In the days when you could sort of hang out with people, anybody that had a baby, I would have this conversation with them in my head of like, you know what you're here to do. And I'd look at them and all of a sudden their eyes would get really big and then they would start to smile and laugh. And, you know, the mom or the parent would say, that's unusual. So yes, we are all born with psychic abilities, being able to connect because we are still fully connected to spirit. And usually that happens at birth, and you've only got to talk to a small child. Many small children will say, I saw whatever, whatever, whatever. And we always put it down to, oh, is their imaginary friend or...
Yeah, but their imaginary friends are not, they're not just imagining.
No,
them.
I had imaginary friends. I grew up in an era where children were seen and not heard. I would sit with my dolls and teddies and have those conversations, and there were voices talking back to me. So I just thought it was my teddies and dolls. I didn't question that at the time. But yeah, up to around about the age of 8 years of age are when children are fully connected to spirit.
In your work, you bill yourself as a clairvoyant. Are all clairvoyants mediums or not necessarily?
And some people call themselves a psychic medium. Some people call them a clairvoyant medium. So with the clairs, you know, a clairvoyant is usually somebody that can communicate with spirit. Now, they're a clairsentient, so they smell, clairaudience, they can hear, and so on and so on and so on. Some people like the word psychic. Some people don't like the word psychic. I used to call myself a psychic medium. And then somebody said to me, oh, your branding, it's not really. So what should I be calling myself? And they said, well, you clairvoyantly connect with spirit. So I hear, see, sense, smell, and feel. And some psychics don't do that. They may use cards. I use cards as well. Some use cards to do that connection and call themselves a psychic medium. Because the thing is, using cards of any kind, any tools, whether they're runes or pendulums or crystals or whatever, they're just a connection. They're like the blankie, if you like, to spirit. So I don't discount who or what people call themselves because, you know, the thing is, not everybody that is psychic is or wants to be a medium. That's one thing. Some people don't want it. If you have that ability to get your own answers by tapping into spirit, using the cards and tapping into spirit, then unless you want to go on and do the kind of work I do, you can just use it for yourself. When I have people that have a reading from me, specifically as a clairvoyant, I'm tapping to their relatives, their ancestors, maybe their guides and spirits. Whereas a psychic or other mediums may just, I'm getting all this information, I don't know who it's from. If it resonates with you, who gives a toffee where it's from?
I don't think that would really make a difference. Yeah. You mentioned the tarot earlier. For some reason, I thought of the Ouija board, because I remember reading a book, one of James Van Praagh's books. What he said was, with the Ouija board, it's not for amateurs, but if you practice protection, it can actually work well. So what are the difference between using the tarot or Ouija board, for that matter, in trying to contact spirit?
So I want to just step back from that, because any tool we use, it's what intention are we placing upon it? And that is probably the most important thing that we need to be in awareness of. Before we hit this journey of wanting to tap into spirit, we have a protocol. Just like when I get in my car, I check my mirror, I check my gas, and I go through what I call my protocol. And this is exactly what people should be doing when they are connecting with spirit, whether they're using a Ouija board, tarot cards, oracle cards, you know, crystals, runes, or whatever. What is your intention? What are you trying to achieve here? Are you trying to conjure up spirits? I've been at those kind of parties where somebody's had a few drinks. They're like, let's get the Ouija board out and let's play.
I don't think it's a good idea for people unless they really know what they're doing, which 99.9% people don't.
I have a code of conduct for myself, and it's worked very well with me, working with my guides and helpers and my team, as I call it. And that is, I have no alcohol. I have no drugs, even like painkillers, like a headache pill or a Tylenol or something like that. I am in good health and in good mind before I do any of this work. And part of that is connecting to the universal sources, if you like, the heavens, whatever we like to call it. And then one is the other part is grounding, because we have to be tethered to both. We can't be like a kite that's flying uncontrolled out there, because that's when people pick up those what I call loose souls or lost souls.
Is this the same thing as asking for protection?
It's asking for protection, and everybody should have their own way of doing it. There's no difference when you're doing any psychic or working with cards and so forth.
So once you have done your protection, you followed your protocol, how do you connect with spirit? Is it the same as you and I are talking right now, or is it a lot different?
It's slightly different. So again, it's back to intention. What is the purpose of using the Ouija board? Is it we want an answer? Because a Ouija board will give you a yes, no answer, which is the easiest one that people work with. A pendulum give you a yes, no answer. So once we've decided, what is the purpose of doing this? Are we getting information for ourselves? Do we want to see if it works? People going in with this, let's just see what we can conjure up. Be aware of, if you haven't done the protocol of protection and intention, you can call in elements that are not good, unwanted. And this happened to me at an event that I went to many, many years ago. And the orchestrator of this event had decided that alcohol was involved and then said, let's do this spiritual healing. So I more in concern for those that were attending that had no idea what was going on. I put a protective circle up around the room, just because I have to do this, because if I walk away and leave these people to it, well, what actually transpired, because one girl wanted to invoke a spirit, it wasn't a good spirit. And it was quite a shock to those that were there that did not know. It was a shock to those that did know, but had no idea of what they were inviting in. And my concern at that point, I realized why I was asked by spirit to stay, was to basically talk this young person down and release that spirit that was not attached to the spirit world. You know, call them a ghost, what is it, a malevolent spirit, they will attach onto the light, and her little light, like all the lights of the people there. And her intention was, I want a spirit to come through me so I can talk.
Jesus, no, that's not a good
idea. It was quite scary. All I can say is that young person at the end of that experience was as white as a sheet, and I'm concluding that maybe they will never do that again. It was not something I've ever wanted to experience in my life, but thankfully during my training, this was something I was taught, and that was the first time I've ever had to implement it into basically pull somebody back. So I was glad that the training I had encompassed that, because a lot of training doesn't encompass how to ground and protect yourself. To me, the fundamentals, before we even get out on this journey to meet your spirit guides or to tap into spirit and all that kind of thing. So yes, there are bad elements out there, just as there are in our human world.
So when you encounter a bad spirit, an evil spirit, God forbid, is your method, as you just described, is that the same thing as trying to guide that spirit to the light or to send them back where they came from?
Well, I don't do what they call soul retrieval. There are specialized mediums, psychics, clairvoyants that do that kind of work. And soul retrieval is basically, it can be within a house that there's a malevolent spirit ghost in that house, and they help them to guide them to the light.
So that's what that is.
Yes. Okay. So right. I did on this occasion, because that was the only thing I could do. I asked those that were holding this person, because this person was convulsing as if they were having a fit, to create this beautiful golden light, and this spirit needs to step into the light. Now, just as we can't insist or try and force somebody to do anything in our world, we can't force them to do that in the spirit world. But as it turned out, thankfully, this spirit did go into the light, and then we just bubbled them up, as I call it, and then sent them home.
Can you ever ask your spirit guides for help in a situation like that?
Absolutely. They were there tenfold. They were the ones that said to me, you need to stay. You need to put the golden bubble around the room to try and protect everyone. So if not, I would have left that gathering. I would have left immediately. And in fact, after this all came down the tubes, I was very rude to the host and...
And rightfully so.
Yes.
Jesus,
and
that's incredible.
Basically told them how irresponsible they were as a light worker to invite a group of light workers and people that had no clue of what to doing, bring alcohol into this and all the other elements. And then I left.
That's inviting anything and anybody, which is obviously not a good idea. Your spirit guides.
Yes.
This is something that comes up quite a bit with mediums, intuitives, psychics. Tell us a little bit about how important that is in your work and how spirit guides can possibly help us.
anybody that's starting out on this journey on their own, usually we connect with somebody in spirit that we know, whether it's our dad, our grandma, our auntie, a friend we worked with, whomever. But we know that person. So we know their resonance. We know their vibration. Just as if I pick up the phone and say, hey, Johnny, how are you doing? The chances are you'll recognize the British accent. And if you've not got many British friends, you'll say, hey, hello, Debbie, how are you? Or if I have a friend call and say, I can hear in their voice, I know their voice. So that's how we communicate in our humanness. Now, in spirit, when somebody that we love passes to spirit, they'll come back and communicate in ways that we will remember them. Maybe it's a memory of something that we did together with them. Maybe it's something funny. Maybe it's something serious. Maybe we even hear their voice or connected to a song that they used to love, that kind of thing. So first of all, it's getting that resonance. This is how we make that connection. In meditation, it's something that I always say to people, and please, for anybody that goes, oh, please, she's going to talk about meditation. I can't do meditation. All right, meditation doesn't have to be an arduous journey. It can be going for a walk, of course, switching off your phone, the pinging, tinging, and distractions that we have. I always take my phone for pictures, for that opportune moment that I may see something when I'm out walking, and that's it. Or if I'm sitting on the beach and, you know, I'm just listening to the waves and I want to record that so I can listen to it later. So walk with the intention. I want to walk being in openness to what I see around me. Ask a question in your head. How can I connect with my spirit guides? Or how can I connect with Uncle Bob? And then start to, as you're walking, you'll notice things. When I get communications in spirit, I don't hear, hey, Debbie, it's Uncle Bob in spirit. I may see something that I remember Uncle Bob liked. Maybe it was a blue jay. Maybe I'll hear in the distance children calling. And I'm like, oh yeah, we used to play on the beach. We have to then open our psyche, our elements of beyond the tangible. Maybe in metaphors, in symbols, words, we'll hear things. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I was traveling to do an event and I got stuck in traffic, and I always allow plenty of time for where I'm going. And all of a sudden I saw this in my head, came the thought of a friend that I know in Australia. And I hadn't been in connection with her in a long time. I'm like, hey, I wonder why I thought that. And then all of a sudden, a truck pulled in front and it had a little kangaroo on the back. And then I saw a vehicle that looked very similar to my friend in Australia. So I'm like, okay, Spirit, I'm getting it. I'll give her a call. I'll message her when I get home. Now, it turned out she was thinking of me. So it wasn't anything bad, anything dreadful. We always think of apocalyptic kind of things when we get those messages. We have to be our own interpreter.
These days, there's a lot of talk about ascension and what that means and moving from the masculine to the feminine energy. I've heard people talk about why spirit is very concerned with us at the moment, at this point in our evolution as a race. Why do you suppose that spirit is so concerned at the moment?
Because we are in unprecedented times. Never has a whole world been in such an isolated situation ever. We've had terrorist attacks. You know, I lived in the UK during the IRA terrorist attack. So we were very much in awareness of possible bombs being on buses, on the tube and stuff like that when I was living in the UK. But never has the whole world experienced something at the same time. That is quite apocalyptic in that way. And I use that word again because we are more isolated, more alone. Even if we're surrounded by our friends on Facebook, we cannot connect in a physical way that our humanness wants and needs to survive. We all need that physical contact, whether it's a hug, whether it's a, you know, tap on the shoulder, whether it's just being able to see somebody in a physical way. And we've got to remember that some people are incarcerated at home, and they're with people that they don't want to spend time with. So this adds to that further disruption, all those elements, and the reasons why spirit are concerned at the moment, which is beyond the current situation, because they are concerned with things like depression, suicide, the desperation, the aloneness, the lost. And that's why they've drawn close to try and assist us.
Does it have anything to do with moving from the 3D to the 5D world? Third dimension or third density and dimension seem to be interchangeable these days. Does it have anything to do with that?
We're always changing and evolving. Okay. That is something, yes, we are moving up in the different levels of ascension, and there aren't five. It goes on infinite. Okay. And I don't want to confuse and draw in all the different levels, because most people know about the 5D consciousness. 5D consciousness is actually where we don't judge. We are in our own awareness. And if you see at the moment, we're in divides, we're in judgments and all those kind of things. So spirit are trying to get us to set in our own changing and evolving. That is something, yes, we are moving up in the different levels of ascension. And there aren't five. It goes on infinite. Okay. And I don't want to confuse and draw in all the different levels, because most people know about the 5D consciousness. 5D consciousness is actually where we don't judge. We are in our own awareness. And if you see at the moment, we're in divides, we're in judgments and all those kind of things. So spirit are trying to get us to set in our own radar, our own guide counter. And now we have access to infinite possibility.
I remember a new wave band, Devo, had a song called Freedom of Choice that I think one of the verses was, freedom of choice is what you have. Freedom from choice is what you want.
Yeah.
So speaking of choices, I think we got time for one more here. Now that we've talked about protection, which I think is really, really important, especially for people that really need to know, they need to avoid what they think is a parlor game like a Ouija board, because most of us know in the wrong hands, that's just basically asking for trouble. So now that we know that, and we touched a little bit on spirit guides, what we need to know about them, what can people reasonably expect from a mediumship reading?
Okay, so from a mediumship reading, I connect with those that have passed into spirit. I say friends, it can be family, it can be guides, helpers, it can be ancestors as well. And I cannot guarantee who is going to come through. And sometimes when somebody has come through and they've given the message and it really resonates and they've got all the information, the person will say to me afterwards, I was so surprised it was Aunt Lucy. I really thought it was going to be my grandma. Well, probably Aunt Lucy was a bossy person when she was here, so she pushed her way through to the front and got on the stage and said her piece. But you got the information you needed. And this is where sometimes we get so caught up in it. I usually, in a private reading, when I'm doing a one-on-one reading with somebody, we get to the point where I say, is there anybody that you were hoping to connect with that we didn't connect with so far? And then I'll go in, and usually we can hone that in. Again, I cannot guarantee who's going to come through. What I can say, which has been a big surprise to me, and I say a big surprise as far as in the days when people would say, I want to come for a reading with you because my mum's just passed, I would always say, wait 3 to 6 months before you do that reading.
That's a very good point. Really good point.
Now spirit are coming through. I had a reading with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and I was knocked over, because when she told me afterwards that particular person has only been in spirit 2 weeks, I was like, oh my gosh, really? So I said there was so much love there that person just wanted to pass on that. Now we can have somebody that's been in spirit, an ancestor that we've never met, that is part of our family thread, that comes through with a message, and yet there's all these people that have gone in the recent years that we would assume would come forward. So it's usually the message, it's usually the information we need. I have helped people connect with spirit to find out where the will is, which has been a very funny one, because I didn't know this lady, and I don't ask questions. That's something I always say to people when they're going to get a reading from, whether it's a psychic, a tarot reader, you know, whatever person is doing the reading, they should be asking no questions of you.
Really?
I ask a yes, no question. If there's something that I'm feeling, if I'm doing a half hour reading and somebody's going off on a tangent in spirit, I just want to know from the person, does this make sense to you? Yes or no? And if they say no, I'll just quickly then tap back into the person and say, okay, you've done too many broad strokes here. We need to hone this in.
I've been told that they're not supposed to ask questions about your background and so on. You'd even give them a fake last name. They just need an email that works. So, for instance, let's say I had my cousin is asking me for a referral for a medium. Does it make sense that I would tell her, don't tell her you know me, just call her up, email her, and just set it up? Because it's almost tempting your imagination if she says, hey, my name's Mary Ellen, I'm Johnny Burke's cousin. You don't really need to know that, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. Usually when it's quite funny because I'll get somebody will have a reading from me and I always ask afterwards how they found out about me because I like to know these things. For me, less is more. I have a booking system where you can put in whatever name you want. Yes, you do have to have an email because I have to communicate with you and set up how we're going to do that. And of course, when I do what I call in-person live readings, when I go to a store or to a location or something like that, all I ever have when the person steps in front of me is their first name, because that's all I ever ask for from the store. I don't need their last name. I don't need to know anything about them, just their first name. That's it.
That's pretty consistent with what I've heard. And I think it's very good advice for anyone who's listening. Debbie, thanks so much for joining us today. How can our listeners find you online?
Go to my website, vibrational-energy.com. My social media is there. There's a free meditation if you sign up for my newsletter. You get some free. There's even a contact box that you can email me if you have a question.
Good. I'll put that link in the show notes. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. This is Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. If you really liked it, you can also leave us a review on iTunes. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.